Hello! You are listening to the Dungeon Boys podcast. The Dungeon Boys is a group of multiple friends telling a story Dungeons and Dragons style. However, this podcast is 1000% for people who are old enough and mature enough to hear dick jokes and the word fuck quite consistently. So, please, if that is not you, turn this off right away or I don't know what I'll do. Content warnings can be found in the episode description. And with that, you can also find us on all of the social medias. We got a lot of good stuff coming out at the Dungeon Boys, spelled B-O-I-Z, on any of the platforms you normally peruse and scroll. Let's go ahead and introduce the boys and the privilege of a few new boys to the cast. We'll start with our winged weefling warlock, though.
Hi, y'all.
Hello. My name is Arland. I play Valand, your winged tiefling sorlock.
Hi, my name is Molly. I play Emberly. She is a druid cleric, and she's a fire druid.
Fire fairy?
Yeah, fire fairy.
she's a little guy.
She's a little guy.
Hi, my name is Sam, and I'm Garbage. And I'll also be playing a character named Garbage. I am a halfling rogue. It's a great big thing. I'm very excited, and we'll see how she goes.
And my name is Justine. I will be your dungeon master for this campaign, as most of you already know. And we're really excited to welcome these new two guest stars to this show, and we hope that you enjoy the ride. Stick to the end for some more updates as the show gets a little wilder, a little crazier. But with that, the Dungeon Boys proudly present Stardust Echoes. Last episode, the team finally made it to the precipice, the Valsum Nautical, what we've been building up and waiting for so long. And as they entered the gates, made their way to the underground cavern and into the tube that would lift them to the fiery lava and water-filled surface to start this race for honor for the next piece of the canon and to help save the Adial system. Darkness, silence, and just Valen, confused, not understanding, saw visions of each of his team members meet their demise. With a heavy heart, he realized these visions were given him by none other than Tarith, his patron and constant shadow since episode 3. After a heavy back and forth, things came to light, pieces clicked, and puzzle pieces finally lay flat upon the board. And now Valen does not look into the eyes of his patron. Not the eyes of Tarith. No. As he continues his conversation, Valen finally looks into the eyes of his father. In this darkness, Valen, the realization has hit, and your father is staring at you, his son, waiting for a reaction.
At that moment, there's a sense of relief, as odd as it is, because there's always been something missing. And he's realizing right now that Tarith's one that was missing. And there's this whole revelation of like how he was raised and what he was made into. And that is all out of anger toward Lilith, toward Bart. And I think at this moment, Valen has a choice to continue the cycle of hate and anger and revenge, or let it go.
And as you are feeling those things, you look at the family that brought you away from Lilith lying dead on the ground.
Yeah, and then he realizes that these people, this team, has been so caring and kind to him in spite of everything he's done. The deception of his acts, you know, the selfish reasons he joined the mission. In spite of all that, they accepted him for who he was. And in that moment, his hands lax a little, and then he lets go of the dagger, and it just clangs to the ground.
Ooh, I just got goosebumps. Yeah, it clings to the ground. Tarith never drops your eye contact, and he says,
"We can change this. It's not who you are. And not who I am, unfortunately. But this, we can change. But you are going to have to trust me."
Valen takes a step forward. Looks around at the team. Looks at Pants. Looks at Temple. And he's just, again, awash with everything that's happened. You know, Pants' shenanigans with trying to steal shit and getting us into trouble. Temple is fucking the sage wisdom through his Templeisms. Six is just sassy nature in general. And the nobleman, Grayson, just prim and proper. And then the last thing that crosses his mind is the strength that Torash has. And how, even though all of that together, he realizes that in spite of the strength that this team had or has, it's not enough. And at this point, he's willing to do whatever he needs to do to prevent any of this from happening. So he takes another step toward Perith and looks up at him and just goes, "All right. What do we need to do to make this happen?"
Tarith almost very microscopically, because he's trying to hide it, almost sags in relief and looks at you with not love, but a sheen of respect, because you're his and he's yours. He cracks his neck, closing his eyes, rolls his shoulders, and says,
"Then we will begin. This team, these people, were significant. They were the only ones who could uncover what needed to be uncovered. But they all, they are so invested in each other and their personal lives that they cannot fulfill what has to be done. The ability for me to be able to have you see this and myself see this has already drained a significant amount of the power that I possess. And I'm willing to use the rest but do not take this for granted. You will still kill Lilith. But I think that it might be more on your own version than just my personal vendetta for revenge. At least we want revenge for the same thing.
And his eyes again kind of gloss over as he's... You're both thinking about the face of your mother. The one thing that connects you both. And he looks at you again with rapt attention and says,
there's a moment. 4 days prior to this, I can send you back. You will need to get away from this team. You will need to break them. However, there are 4 more you will need. 4 days, 4 people, 1 chance. Once I make this happen, my power will be depleted for weeks. Do you understand what I'm telling you?
Valen nods.
He holds out his hand for you to shake it.
I'm gonna roll Arcana.
Okay.
18. 11 plus 7.
He is about to push you back in time and in doing so break your connection with Lilith.
Valen takes one more look at the team. Laying there, bloodied. Gone. Looks up at Tareth. Well, if it's gonna keep all this from happening, then I'll do what I must. Reaches out for his hand, and then pulls it back. But this changes nothing. So don't expect me to be calling you dad. And he shakes his hand.
And as your hands touch, you feel electricity in every part of your body. The pain you feel, and is on a level you have never felt. It feels as if your very cells are breaking apart, your veins exploding with ichor and blood. Your eyes are caving in on themselves, and it feels as though your own teeth are piercing your lips. Your body is being pulled, morphed, strained, and then all of that pain focuses in on your left hand. And right then you hear a crack and all of that pain disappears. It's like ecstasy. Memories flood back to you of your mother, of warnings she'd given you against devils and demons, of memories of bonding and beauty, of intention set for your future and what she wanted you to be. And all of the good she poured into you and all the good she wanted you to be. And you open your eyes and you're standing on the stingray. You hear the whirling and beeping. And a silent Jigalda is staring at you. This is before she had broken her vow of silence. And she tilts her head almost in awareness. And her big cat eyes go wide.
Is there anyone else around?
You don't see a soul except Jigalda staring at you.
I'm gonna walk up to Jigalda and be like, Jigalda?
Valen, you were in your room and now appeared. And look different. What is happening?
I'm not sure. He kind of looks around, confused again. What's the date? What day is it right now?
She cocks her head and then blinks her right eye. And when she opens that eye, a projection of the date and time pops up. And you realize, so this is the day after Kite had left you and you'd found out about the Feywild. And you are about to be possessed by Lilith and Grayson by Tareth and have that conversation. So that memory floods back to you as she looks and she says,
Valen, you are not from this time.
You can tell that?
Where did you come from?
Like, you can tell that?
I am much smarter than I appear sometimes.
Well, shit. And it gets closer. All right. I gotta fill you in on some stuff. Basically,
And then as you're about to start, you hear a voice inside your head.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Tarith, and it sounds exhausted. And he says,
"You don't have time. Take the ship mind feeling with you if you must. You can use all the allies you can, but you need to start manipulating things immediately. First, type in these 5 distress calls into the system to all hit within these specific times I'm about to send you. This is going to give your team enough motivation to stop going to no tube."
And as you look down at these papers that kind of appear in your hand with that fiery red magic, you look and you see the crystal on your hand is broken and your hand is almost blackened with red, like, lines of lightning, which looks just like Tarith's magic. You kind of shake it off, look at these notes with that beautiful cursive handwriting. You know of his is so shaky, it's almost hard to make out. But these are all notes to your team about the remembrance ceremony where Grayson will be crowned as a dragon rider, and about a secret plot that is going to kill everything and everyone that they love. Pantses has detailed descriptions about Althea being there and dying. Hers is from Ham. Twash's is from his father. They're all these really intense things that would drive your team to hop into action immediately. And then you hear Tarith say,
"Add what you know about them. Use your insight to craft these as you need. My gift and ability is to see the motivation of others. That I have given you for what needs to happen. But you must make these personalized so they can't say no. Grayson's going to wake up in exactly 3 hours and 22 minutes. Begin."
Is this something that you are going to choose to do?
Well, yeah, because I think if I don't, I just leave, then they're gonna go to the nautical. I'm gonna turn to Jigalda. I'm like, well, there's no time to really explain, but I'm gonna need your help.
She kind of stares at you and says,
"Balin, I cannot be left behind. Life has meaning for me now."
"No, I had no intention of leaving you behind. You're gonna have to come with me."
She looks down at the seriousness of the things you're writing and is realizing that she has a choice. And she kind of hops on your shoulders and begins kneading on your shoulders, almost in comfort, knowing what she's walking away from, but also that what you're trying to do is to protect them. And you begin to write the most intense letters to your friends, your family. Your heart is starting to slowly break, knowing that you're deceiving and leaving your friends. But as you kind of close your eyes and really tune into your senses, you can hear them all breathing. Six up in the rafters, Pants in his box. Temple, you kind of hear his sentry mode whirling. Grayson, doubled breath in tune with Azeron, who lays on his chest. And Torash, kind of dreaming that he's getting so close to Tarwyn right now. And you know they're alive. And as you know they're alive, Jigalda cocks her head and says,
"Do we need to leave now?"
Quick question.
Yeah.
Me being sent back in time, is there still
me? You're not
me?
Doubled.
Okay, there's no double me.
No.
Okay.
No. He pulled you. Like, you were, like, displaced out of time.
Okay.
And I know all you listening, you sci-fi nerds, you're going to tell me the time shit. Just enjoy the podcast. I'm not that smart.
Do we need to leave now?
Yeah, so I rush to my little cubicle, got my cubby. I pack up all my things.
Roll stealth for me.
Okay. I mean, quietly. 14.
You hear Six wake up.
I'm going to sit down in the bunk real quick and rustle around as if I'm, like, tossing and turning. and then kind of like...
You feel her look in your room. You don't see her. Roll performance for me.
That's a dirty 20.
She goes back to her little outpost.
Good girl.
And as... Oh my god, fucking stop. She goes back to her outpost. Mind you, everyone listening, he looked at his dice and told it, good girl. Since you can't see us, I'm sure this will become a video. And you lay there faking this. You hear her go back and you wait. You hear... Sir Charles jumps on you and snuggles into your chest. Jugalda follows behind and says,
they are all asleep.
Okay. So I continue packing my stuff, including the cloak, because I still have it.
Of course.
Yep. And then...
Pants hasn't gotten rid of it.
No, he hasn't gotten rid of it yet. And then I'm going to walk over... Because Pants is in the back, right? His box is in the back by the pods.
It's by all the weapons and stuff.
Cool. I'm going to walk over.
You hear... And then you hear, as Pants inhales with a snore, you hear Vidget go, fuck, 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 fuck.
I'm going to put the belt of Dwarven Kind on them, on the box, with a note that just says, have fun, little buddy. Signed, Valen, a.k.a. Sir Archibald McNugget. And then, going to look at Vidget. He still needs to complete the cannon.
Vidget's awake.
And all these things start hitting him, and makes him, and then he realizes that Vidget has everything, like half of the parts built into him. I think at this point, like, it's Fidget's like little robot eyes just kind of like whirling back and forth,
doing the bird back and head bob.
Yeah. And I turn to Jugalda, and I'm like, I like put my shoulder, hand my shoulder here for her to jump on my shoulder so I can whisper in her ear. I'm like, Jugalda, we're gonna need those parts for the cannon, and Fidget has most of them built in. Do you have any ideas?
She nods her head silently, walks up to Fidget, and you see like a little R2-D2 arm kind of pop out of her tail, and she looks at Fidget, and Fidget kind of flexes his tail, and their tails connect on the very edges. Mechanical feather to mechanical tail, and it's almost like they're speaking. This is something you haven't seen, but it seems like they've done it before. And Fidget looks down at Pants, looks at you almost with mechanical panic. Jugalda is telling him of the notes you've written, and Fidget kind of starts to process that he's got to protect his pants, and he hops across the box. Pants kind of and then he nods at you at your bag, like to open it.
Okay, I open it.
Hops into Pants' box. Pants, in his sleep, kind of pets his metal feathers with his claws. And Fidget hops in Pants' bag of holding. Then clasps it in his beak, pulls it up. You know that some of the bigger pieces you had gotten are in that bag of holding.
Mm-hmm.
And that the pieces that were attached to Fidget looks a lot lighter. And Fidget hands you, he reaches his head out to give you the bag, and Jugalda hops up on your shoulder.
I take the bag, and then I give it a little scritch under the chin, and I turn to him, I'm like, all right, Fidget, look out for him. Don't let anything happen. I can trust you, right?
Fuck.
And then he just like turns around and kind of walks towards the escape pod.
Doot, 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 doot. It opens and you kind of hear Toresh grunt. So you speedily get in. It closes. You wait a few minutes. And right then, Tarith says,
the reason Grayson is going to wake up in 3 hours and 22 minutes. Exactly 3 hours now. Because this is the last spell I can do.
And Tarith casts sleep. So you can launch your escape pod out without them hearing. You quickly do, and it detaches. Sir Charles on your right leg, Jugalda on your left. And you hear a growl and look behind you.
Inferna Jones is in the pod.
Fuck.
You didn't realize she was sleeping in there.
Fuck. Dumb dog.
She is just staring at you and starts to get up and growl, hackles up.
Well, look Inferna Jones in the eyes. Infernal. And say, I need you to calm down. This is all to protect Six. If I stay and we continue on, she's not going to make it.
Roll animal handling.
That's a 7.
She goes to you and bites your arm. Does a 17 hit you?
Yeah.
You feel her bite into your arm. Blood starts pouring. And as she bites and then stops, she sniffs. And I think you see she is smelling a dead Six on you. Because you had held Six in your arms and she smells Six's blood. And she backs up, almost panicking, tail between her legs.
I'm like, it's okay. It's okay. She's still okay. We just got to do this. And I can't go back to bring you back, so... Either you're with me or I'm going to drop you off on the next planet. I don't know what you're going to do.
Her ears pin back and she kind of comes up and licks your arm. It almost cauterizes with the magma and fire from her tongue and then lays between your legs. So you have Sir Charles on your right knee, Jugalda on your left, and Inferna Jones between your legs. And then you hear Tarith's voice, as weak as it has been, it's almost like a light starting to flicker out in your head, say,
look for the fairy with fire that mashes the dogs, and then you will begin.
Where the fuck am I supposed to find that?
There's no answer.
God damn it.
Roll history for me.
I rolled an 18.
You kind of like facepalm yourself. You're racking your brain where the fuck you'd find this. You're pissed that Tarith is no longer there. And then you remember and realize that fairies came from the Feywild. And your old buddy Kite just set off one of the biggest Feywild beacons pretty much possible.
Oh, like where we were before.
Yeah.
So I gotta go back to the fucking storage unit. God damn it. Is the pod gonna make it there?
You can hope.
Well, I'm asking God. Like, do I need to roll something to know? Like,
do you have proficiency in, like, terrain items or driving or vehicles?
No. I didn't need it.
That's okay. You unfortunately don't know. You have to just pray your pod makes it.
All right. Well, I punch in the coordinates for the storage unit again.
You punch it in, and you start heading back, and as you look out, the darkness that was so familiar to the one you had just experienced, you see all the stars kind of winking up at you. One looking like a silver-haired dragon rider. Another got a glint of Bahamut in Torash's eye. You see the shininess of Six's daggers and the sparkle of Pance's horns. And last, you see a very bright one way out in the distance and realize that it's the shine of V7 where your amazing monk friend came from, and you start piloting this ship into the dark away from the only family you've ever really known besides your mother, with so many thoughts and emotions, and you feel so alone. But as you look down and see these companions with you and know you're about to find a new one, you realize you're not.
Hey, friends, fam, and fans. We have decided to input some phenomenal ads in the middle of our episode. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't get stressed. They're actually just us telling you about another amazing podcast and giving you a peek to more of the wonderful TTRPG community that is out there. Just folks like yourself who are trying to create a story. So let me go ahead and introduce you to someone we think you should be listening to.
You want to join the organization. Why should I? Why should I let you? There are four figures standing in a little room in a basement of a convenience store.
Hello, I am Daryl. Daryl Copper. Pleasure to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Daryl. I'm Andre.
Indigo.
And I believe I caught your name Pooh.
Excuse me, it's definitely not Pooh. I prefer Pookie.
6 months ago, the world changed. And people changed with it. A city suddenly appeared from thin air in the heart of Melbourne, and magic was unleashed. Most humans aren't, well, human anymore.
Indigo, please do wait, I'm on my way. And you hear the little pitter-patter of claws on the ceiling.
Look at this photograph.
Every time it makes me laugh.
I got a one, so which makes it a zero.
Can you click that one? No, that one. No, Daryl, that one. There you go.
Oh.
I need you to infiltrate a volatile community of magic users whose aim appears to be converting an entire world unfit for magic with their practices. While they have already introduced magic to the planet, we are working with a field team to remove them before they grow in power to a point where their practices could take root in the native culture. They call themselves the Summer Court. Portal Quandary Season 3, Atreus, has new episodes tri-weekly on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or really wherever. You'll find us. We'll be there. Bye-bye now.
Now in an escape pod with very little direction and a patron who has gone quiet, Balin drifts through space in the last direction Tarith pointed him to go, saying, "Look for the one with fire." Balin, you're exhausted, emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually. You are almost falling asleep as you pilot this small aircraft. Always the right side of your body for the last few hours has been so hot with the nervous panting of a giant hellhound in front of Jones next to you. But the left side has been almost icy as Sir Charles has been randomly turning into a small snow goblin to try to cool you off. And behind you, you hear the pacing taps of a metallic cat and hear,
"Valen, I don't mean to pry, but since I left, the only connections I've ever had, would you mind telling me where we're going?"
Yeah, so, Jigalda, we're heading back to Tenebris. Apparently that's the next stop for whoever we're gonna fucking find out here.
You already got the pieces of the cannon. Why?
I don't know. I'm just following my new... my dad? I don't know.
At that, Jigalda's metallic spine almost hackles up as little razor blades come out and shift, and she hops in front of you so close to your face, well, because the console's so close, and her yellow eyes almost glowing look at you and go,
"We are trusting a demon lord."
Well, it's better than trusting Lilith, I'll tell you that much.
I never interacted with Lilith because you always kept me on the ship.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, I mean, there was that one time when... Oh, wait, I think you were broken then. Never mind. Anyway.
She narrows her eyes and says,
"Why are we going towards the rings? I trusted you. Please trust me."
Valen looks at his arm with the newly inked up infernal tattoos all over it. One of the runes in his arm starts kind of lightly glowing. Like, there's like some kind of magic coming from it. He goes, "I think we're just trying to get... We're trying to find somebody, and that's kind of the direction we need to go right now."
"Who? Where? Why?"
It's the only way we're going to be able to stop this, end of the world and actually save the people I care about."
"Who? Where?"
"Where? I don't know where. We're just going in that direction. Hopefully we, come across something."
"Who?"
I'm going in as blind as you are. We just need to take care of this as soon as we can."
She flicks her metallic tail very close to your cheek but does not hit it and goes,
"I may have made the wrong choice.
Too late now."
And then lays down on the console.
Kind of whisper to myself, "Well, I mean, whatever. Fuck you too, man. God."
And with that, I need you to roll me investigation.
That is an 18 plus 3.
21.
Blackjack.
Yeah, so you kind of rub your face. Your wings feel so cramped from being in this tight space. And as you look down in front of you, you start to, like, take the console and manually project it in almost a 3D space in front of you. You're trying to look for connections. You're zooming in and out of quadrants with your fingers, pushing things, almost taking pieces of the map to your sides and, like, putting this holographic map all around you. And as you kind of zoom in on one, you see about 600 miles ahead of you. Beep, beep, beep. There's a ship coming quite fast towards you.
All right, let's just keep our head.
You keep going, getting closer and closer, and we will now switch to about 400 miles away. Molly, describe the ship.
It's something small. I want it to be like a bubble.
Okay, so a bubble-like ship.
Like a hamster wheel.
It's a hamster wheel.
It's got like rings that are just like propelling around it. So it's keeping her moving that way.
Oh, that's cool.
But it's mostly clear and see through because she doesn't care about stealth.
I love it. So this large, unique bubble floats through space and is propelled. It almost moves like a butterfly as it goes through, bouncing on waves that shouldn't exist out in space. And we kind of zoom in closer and see through these clear windows. You see reflections of orange sun flares kind of coming through, but then you notice that maybe those orange are coming from the inside too. And as we zoom through one of those windows to see the person at the helm kind of controlling the ship, Molly, can you please describe your character to us?
Yeah, you see a tiny creature. It's humanoid, and she's got pink hair and glowing orange eyes. And she looks like she's got little wings, and she's kind of like flying in the middle of the bubble, and she's got a screen in front of her. You're too far away to see a lot, but you can tell that she is, like her wings look like they're made of flame.
Ooh. So you're navigating, and all of a sudden you see beep, beep, beep. There's a very small ship on direct course to yours, about 400 feet away.
Well, that's close.
You notice this.
Do they look like they're, like, going to collide with me and that they're, like, trying to intercept?
Possibly, yes. If they didn't turn, you guys would be... It'd be like you're meeting or rendezvousing.
Okay. I'm gonna try over comms, to connect with them over comms.
Fallon, you hear this?
Hi there,
Hello? Hi, God. It's me, Fallon.
Hi, are you okay? Do you need help?
I mean... Which way are you headed? I'm gonna stop my ship real quick. Hold on.
And then just blip 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 blip, and then just it just stops, so I don't run into her.
By the time that you slow and she's moving forward, you guys are about 200 feet away now, so you can very clearly see each other like across a football field.
Fallon's gonna look at the window and be like,
hi.
That's a lot of critters you got in there.
Fallon, why don't you go ahead and describe what your character looks like?
Fallon is a tiefling, red. Of skin. He's got little horns that kind of curve backward behind his head. He's got this brown leather jacket. Can't really tell how tall he is, but because he's like crunched in this little pod. But he's got like a brown leather jacket, black shirt underneath. Probably by this point, you'll hear the squeaking of Sir Charles because he'll be on my shoulder just. Sir Charles, hold on. I'm trying to have a conversation here.
Yeah, I'm heading to Tenebris. Had a little bit of a mishap with my last crew. Had to go separate ways. You know, no ill feelings or nothing like that. Just I have my own mission that I need to accomplish.
I want to insight check that for sure. Oh, it's an 11. It was a nat 1 plus 10. Super good.
Damn, you have a plus 10 to insight? What the fuck?
I do.
Your heart kind of bleeds for this guy. He's out in space all alone right now. You know, you love animal. Well, I don't want to assume. I'm assuming this is your druidic. You have some empathy for animals. And you see a little chinchilla and a top hat on his shoulder. And you see, like, red eyes out of almost a shadowy darkness in the corner that looks very big. and you see a cat that seems to be very shiny.
It looks like we're heading the same way, so if you need a lift, you're welcome to join. I mean, there's no seats in here because I don't need those, but...
I mean, I don't mind.
And at that, Valen, I need you to roll insight for me.
The 12 plus 3. 15.
15 will do it. You, as you kind of really strain your tiefling eyes through the vastness of space, you notice it looks like flames licking off of this creature. And you hear memory of Tarith's voice only a few hours ago saying, look for the one with flames.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you're okay with me hopping on, that'd be great. Just if you're, like I said, if you're heading to Tenebris, that's amazing. I mean, I can kind of find my way around there if I need to.
He's kind of very suspicious about that. Because it's like, it's a weird little coincidence.
Yeah.
Also, like, he knows there's a lot of, like, random fiery creatures out there. So he's like,
that's like, true.
I don't know if this is her or not. Is this the right fiery creature? I don't know. he's not the smartest person. Yeah, he's got all that charisma to make up for it. Or as the kids say, Riz.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that'd be great. Like I said, if you're okay with me hopping on board and tagging along for now.
Yeah, my bubble is your bubble.
I'm like, if you could just... I don't know how your ship works. Where's your docking port, like, I can attach to?
Oh, hang on just a moment. You see one of the rings stops spinning, and it kind of, adheres. It changes form and, like, seals to a part in the bubble.
That's cool. Shigalda kind of cocks her head and looks at you.
Yeah, at this point, I think he's going to turn the comms off. Hey, Shigalda. I think this is the one we're looking for. I can't be 100% sure, but Tara told me to find a fiery one. I don't know if he was talking about a personality or actually fiery, but this could be a good lead.
I have much better vision than you. This is some form of fire fey.
A fey? We haven't... That's the second fey we've run into in the last 2 days.
Of my 360 plus years... This is considered rare.
Oh, God. All right. She probably is the one. God damn it. All right, cool. All right, well, we're gonna go ahead and dock with the ship and figure it out.
She puts a paw on your hand and says,
which tail should I be doing?
And it's like the regular cute one or like the dagger knife that you've seen flips out and it waves around.
I'd put the dagger away for right now. You don't want to scare her. I mean, there's four of us. Like,
that is true. I am very scary.
And it turns back in. And then we're going to dock. So, Valen, with much difficulty, because this is a tiny little escape pod that's meant to escape and not navigate, you're able, with much of Dragalda's help, to dock. And for the first time in the last 5 hours, Inferna Jones stops panting. She sniffs and looks very concerned. And kind of gives a stress shake. And then looks at you... in alarm as to why you're stopping here.
I give her a little scritches on the bottom of the chin.
Roll an animal handling.
Well, that's a 5.
She snaps at your fingers but does not hurt you.
Oh, God. In Infernal, I'm like, no, Jigalda, God damn it, all these fucking creatures. Inferna, it's okay. It's gonna be okay. I know you're stressed out, but I think this is who we need. Can you give me an indication that I'm saying what I'm saying? You understand? Because speaking Infernal.
She points with her paw at the door and then cocks her head at you.
I'm like, yeah, this is where we need to go. Like, we need to be here. I think this is where, you know, this is how we're going to keep everybody else safe, or how we're going to, you know, keep Sick safe. And maybe we can get you back to her once we're all done. I'm sure she's worried sick about you now by this point, but... Yeah. And I pull a little treat out of my pocket, a little snack, and I give it to her.
And at that, the doors open, and you see this small fire fairy in front of you, wings kind of flapping loosely with little flames. And you're both about 5 feet from each other face to face. Molly, I need you to roll history or insight, whatever you'd like.
We'll do insight, and hopefully I don't roll another nat one.
Dun, dun, dun!
It's a 19!
Whoop, whoop!
That's great. You see this tiefling in front of you, and almost as a shock, your wings back you up about half foot. and you have seen this person before, but maybe not at this age. And in your bag, you almost feel the warmth of a journal when you stare.
I think her wings stop fluttering for a second as she recognizes him and clocks him. And then you see the color of her skin changes. It like flashes quickly with like white, as though like the way that an ember kind of like flares with color as the wind brushes over it. And it's super brief. And then it stops, and you see her kind of like gesture for her bag and kind of just pat it.
Valentine's gonna put his hands up and say, "Oh, it's okay. She won't bite. She's a sweet little girl."
You didn't even notice, and now you look down and see this juvenile hellhound, the size of an Irish wolfhound, looking at you with very intense eyes, and it looks like her snoot is sniffing so hard at you.
I'm like, "It's okay. You can go say hi. Go say hi."
I look down at Inferna Jones, and my demeanor just totally changes, and I go from, you see the colors shift from, kind of like a dull, like pink kind of to a bright yellow. And she immediately smiles. and I like put my hand out. I was like, "She's so pretty. What's her name?"
Her name is Inferna Jones. I'm Valen, by the way. I know we didn't properly introduce ourselves. And I kind of step forward and reach my hand out.
Valen, this is going to be a high DC, but I want you to roll perception for me.
What am I, Grayson?
Or insight.
Well, that's another 5. 2 plus 3.
Okay. Inferna Jones, he says, "Hi, I'm Valen," and he holds out his hand. And to you, you know that name as well.
Oh, yeah.
And Inferna Jones comes up underneath his hand, and she is sniffing at you so intensely. Like, she's not comfortable enough to get close to you, but she's sniffing really hard.
Okay. She's getting a whiff of, like, burnt marshmallows, and I very slowly and conscientiously move my hand towards Valen, and I take your hand, and I say, "I know."
Oh yeah, you must have seen all those newscasts. Shit. You can blame you probably saw us on Nick's Pip show. Yeah, we kind of my old crew and I kind of. God damn it. I was hoping that no one saw that, but, you know, we were on there briefly. And he just keeps talking like he's nervous now because he's like, "Fuck, she saw the broadcast and all the shenanigans, and then she's going to kick me off the ship, and I'm going to have to get back on this cramped ship." It's the whole thing. He's starting to spiral in his head.
She cocks her head to the side, and she's like, "I have something for you, but why don't you come in first?"
This is like Hansel and Gretel shit. "I've got something for you. Come in my ship."
That one's very suspicious now.
That's fine.
All right. Is it okay if my little critters come on with me?
Oh, yeah. I love... Well, that's going to sound even worse. I love little creatures.
I'm like, don't mind Inferna Jones. She kind of just stowed away. She's my old crewmate's dog. Anyway, because I kind of come in and... kind of find a space to in the middle, and it's big enough for me to stretch my wings out for the first time in like I don't know how long.
I think you've been flying for about 7 hours. Both of you have been flying for about seven hours.
So so Valen like goes in the middle and just stretches his arms out real big, and he goes, "Ah!" And his wings just, you see his wingspan just kind of come through, and then his wings like stretch and flutter a little bit, and then they kind of drape back around his shoulders. Jesse goes, "I really appreciate the ride."
And right then you hear dunk. Dunk, dunk, dunk. And you look, Emberly and Valen, and see a trash can floating in space is hitting against the bubble, and all you can see above the rim of the trash can are two eyes and a cyborg raccoon, like Ratatouille, sitting on top of the two eyes' head. And, yeah, you just hear dunk, dunk.
Hey, you guys!
Oh my god!
are you saying this? I know I've been staring at space for the last 7 hours, but...
She probably thinks it's your friend. No, I'm just kidding.
Are you...
You don't know him?
I'm just using my hand against the window, and you just hear this, like... as I'm, like, slowly slipping past. Hello?
I can tell you this much. He's not with me. I don't know who the fuck that is.
I see you in there! Please?
She just waves uncertainly, like, hi.
And at that, as you wave, and the voice is getting more distant, because obviously noise can't travel well, if at all, in space. So he has some kind of, like, air projector on him that's also giving him air. The small raccoon with its little thumbs and fingers, because raccoons have those, grabs on to one of the circles that's going on your ship, and they just start, like, orbiting your ship, and you hear... and the raccoon is dialing and your ship stops, which tells you this is a very intelligent creature, and starts scooting, holding on its paws on its feet, or holding onto this person in this trash can's hair, and its fingers are scooting down towards the hatch hole.
Hell yeah, buddy, you keep it up.
Okay.
The one my ship's attached to?
Yeah.
I think we know who the brains of that operation is.
I can hear you in there. That's rude.
I don't know how you would, but we'll go with it.
I don't know.
I mean, this is your ship. You can let him on. I don't.
Do you have a trash can in your ship?
It's a bubble.
She came down in a bubble, bro.
There's like no seats. I don't think there's probably like a trash, an airlock, we just eject things out into space because we litter here.
So that trash can eject thing is a small portal, probably a regular humanoid size couldn't get through, but this very small trash can and creature can, and outside that tiny little bubble hole where you normally eject things, you hear rap, rap, rap knock of this tiny raccoon hand.
Why are you floating in space with a trash can? Are you good?
You talking to me? You talking to that winged guy?
I mean, I don't know him.
I mean, I didn't come float around in the trash can, sir. You did. I think she's only talking to you.
I'm going
to
do an insight.
Okay.
Amberly rolled a 1. So with my 10, it's an 11.
Oh, God, that's 2 nat 1s in one session. Jesus.
So good. So good.
I got to pee real bad, guys. Come on.
Oh, you can't do that in here. It's a bubble.
Well, you're in a fucking trash can. You can't do that. You got a trash can there, sir. You can go ahead and use your facilities.
Constitution saving check, garbage. Your first roll of the game.
Canonically, can I whip my piece out in space, in the vacuum of space?
This is the Dungeon Boys. You can do whatever the fuck you want. Roll Constitution saving throw.
Oh no, I'm just gonna hold it then because I don't want to lose my bait and tackle earlier.
That's what the constant
roll
is for.
Roll a Constitution saving roll.
Garbage rolled a 17.
Okay, so you're kind of looking. You have no idea who this is, why they're here, why they picked your ship. You just see a cute raccoon cyborg. And for you, your constitution saving, you say you have to pee and you feel it coming, but you snug a little closer in your trash can and you don't lose it.
It'll just filter in with the rest of my body again.
Oh no.
Did he just say he peed inside himself?
No.
I get that warm, fuzzy feeling all over my body.
I mean, I've heard tales about... a creature absorbing moisture in my past, but, you know.
I'm gonna pass him an empty jar that I have in my bag through the airlock.
So you don't open it for him. You just open
here,
a tiny...
I can solve one of your problems right now, and then you can come in. Here.
Valent's also gonna pass a wet towel through so he can wipe his hands afterwards.
Like a little wet nap.
A wet nap, yeah. It's just a little wet nap from one of the bars he went to. It's just a little wet nap he's had in his pocket.
Space KFC.
Garbage. The mason jar and wet wipe can pass to you. With kind of the impression that you think this small fairy may be saying if you piss outside of her ship, you can come in.
Yes.
Do you go pee-pee in space?
So what I do is I get...
He docks with
jar.
The water bottle.
I dock with it. And then I'm just like, I got one hand on top of the ship, just leaning up against it. I'm not even facing away. I'm just like, oh, my God. Thank God.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. And I just, like, fling it off.
As you fling it, and it spirals just... It's like a spiral firework of yellowed-colored liquid just goes away from your ship.
The balance says to himself, wow, the little guy had a big tank.
Oh, hell yeah. Brother, you don't even know it.
He said to himself,
oh, shit.
At this point, you see Sir Charles turn into a little mini version of Garbage and the raccoon. No, it's just the head, little trash can with the head. That's what he kind of morphs into. And I'm just looking at him like, God damn it, Sir Charles, like, really?
Emberly does a double take.
You know of morphs. You're fascinated, but you've never seen one before. And you hear again the rap of raccoonish knuckles. And at that, you hear tink, tink, tink. And out of the escape pod, Emberly, you see a completely mechanical cat with yellow-ish eyes, almost with, like, blue data strips running through them, walk up, and it kind of bows, but also stretches, like a cat stretch, and says,
hello, I am Jagalda.
Wow. There's a lot happening right now. Hi, I'm Emberly. Nice to meet you.
I recommend we let that person in. If my scans are correct, they have interesting readings.
I'm going to do another insight.
Okay.
Emberly rolls a 26 insight.
Holy fuck.
Amazing. You can tell that this is actually not a cat. This is not a actual flesh and blood creature. This is a ship mind. Ship minds are rare and extremely powerful components that were once some sort of humanoid who have taken all of their knowledge. Usually sorcerers and wizards were ship minds or decided to choose the existence of a ship mind, where all of their memories and conscious were transformed into a very, very, very powerful component that were only given to the best ships in the business. So the fact that this weird tiefling in the middle of nowhere with a very weird camaraderie has a ship mind very much piques your interest. And you also can tell with that insight that she does not want to tell you, but that there's no ill will on her telling you that you should let this guy in towards you.
Okay, we'll put a pin in that. And then she's gonna tap on some buttons on the holographic screen, and I guess the garbage disposal chute opens a little wider.
And perfectly, like within a centimeter, the circular garbage can slowly, this raccoon is like pulling on actual like air, oh, just God. Scratching. And you see half of its face is completely cyborged, and the other half is his masked normal fur. One arm is also cyborg, the other three are regular. He's got a nice big belly pooch, like he's been eating well lately. And his little tail is inside the trash can behind this person's head. And as you get through, goon, 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 gravity hits. And I think this might be the first time you can tell this creature has hit gravity. The raccoon just lays flat on the ground, all four paws, cockroach spiraled out, just breathing. And you see a little tiny port on its neck that had been blinking oxygen low.
Oh, shit.
And then the trash can dunk, 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 rolls on the ground, and a halfling spills out. Garbage, can you describe what your character looks like?
So my character is small. He's a halfling. And essentially, he's dressed in kind of like an older style suit that's like blackish gray, like charcoal. Essentially, it's a pinstripe. But on closer inspection, you notice that the pants and the jacket and the undershirt don't really match. They're different suits that I have found in different places, and I've tried to match best I can. And then I have like a 5 o'clock pure gray shadow, and then I have gray hair except for a little black triangle that comes up right in front.
Where are you?
I'm so sorry. Yeah, and he also lays almost identical to his raccoon and is like, like breathing in the sweet, sweet oxygen.
Did Garbage use a wet wipe?
Yes, he did. He was in the background and he was doing this outside of the ship.
We see it drifting.
He wants to be polite.
Val's going to reach out and give him a hand up. Just had to make sure.
I'm going to tap some buttons on the controls and close the garbage port.
Man, you don't know what it's like out there. It is a doozy of a ride. Thanks for the ship.
Most of us are in ships, sir, but why are you floating around in a garbage can?
Yeah, I know.
Have ever seen anybody fly in space inside of a garbage can?
So I'm unique. Well, you know, I already know that your ship mine there told you that I was quite a unique specimen. Guess you already know it's not proportional. Well, you know, I'm just, I was suffering from a little bit of performance anxiety and I got, you know, thrown off a ship. It happens to the best of us, you know?
And at that, Jigalda runs up, slams her small body weight onto you as you're still taking these breaths and talking. Roll a strength saving throw for me, Garbage.
Emberly flies so far up into the ceiling. She's like, whoop, don't want anything to do with that.
Garbage rolled a 7.
Yeah, Jigalda smacks you down and shink, her tail turns into a very sharp 6-inch knife. And it's to your throat and her eyes start scanning your face and she goes,
Fallon, traces of Lilith energy detected.
And that's where we're going to go ahead and end our first session.
Yay!
Whoop, whoop. Yay!
Hello! Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Dungeon Boys and welcoming our brand new guest stars, Sam and Molly, playing Garbage and Emberly. We're really excited to have this halfling rogue and fire fairy druid joining the team for who knows how long. Don't worry, we have an update on your favorite characters next episode. Just make sure you stay in till the very end to learn about what's happening with Six, Grayson, Pants, Temple, and Torash. And in general, we ask that you always stay till the end of the show because that's when we add a lot of funny bloopers, give you some updates with what's going on with our Patreon, where you can find other sources of Dungeon Boy stuff like amazing fan art, outtakes, giveaways, and more. So yeah, we ask that you always try to stay till the end. Sometimes we'll even shout out other amazing podcasts as well that we think you should listen to. But hang tight, click the link in our bio and join our Discord so you can talk about some of your favorite moments with the rest of the Dungeon Boys friends, fans, and fiends. And with that, as always, we hope that all of your space travels are safe.